Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to NaNoWriMo Every Month. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 24 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and other things, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. So, recently I wrote Hadrian's Flight, a very particular kind of young adult book taking place in another one of my established science fictional universes. And I did 85,000 words in 34 days. Well, 84,843 words in 34 days. And I wanted to talk about some of the interesting little wrinkles in that process, because you guys might find it useful. One of the interesting wrinkles, which I'll talk about today, is that this book was one that I wrote to a formula. And the first three episodes will be about writing to a formula. The first one today, we're going to deal with formulating the formula. Then in the next episode, we'll talk about writing to the formula. And then in the third episode, we'll talk about what makes this formula special and distinct from some of the other major formulas in the young adult fiction world. So today we're going to talk about what a formula is and how to uncover an existing formula in order to learn how to write a particular type of book or to learn from an author that you really like. A formula is a recipe for a book, whether it's a collection of elements that dependably come together, but it doesn't really matter what order they come together in, to a very specific beat sheet, which governs not only the general sorts of elements that come in, but exactly what sort they are, and exactly when they come in, and in more or less exactly what proportion. Popular beat sheets right now include the Save the Cat formula from screenwriting. If you watched, for example, The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight Rises, Skyfall, several of the Superman films that came out around that time, a lot of the recent superhero movies, you'll notice that they all follow beat for beat, almost exactly the same formula. In that sense, the beat sheet is like a baking recipe. It's so constructed that it has to be followed exactly if you want to get the promised result. Whereas most formulas, the looser the formula gets, the more writing to formula is like cooking rather than baking, where the mix of ingredients is prescribed, but how you employ them and what you do with them is totally up to you. Anyone who cooks or who has ever watched a competitive cooking show can appreciate how much variety a loose formula will allow you. I tend not to like beat sheets, though I have pulled from them from time to time, because if you treat them as a loose formula, you can find a lot of fun stuff in them to play with that might not normally occur to you. Loose formulas, on the other hand, can provide those kinds of limitations that free up your creativity, especially if you experience decision paralysis or you're trying to master a new form of storytelling. Basically, a formula is a sort of story template or a game board within whose bounds you tell your story. Now, that gives you an idea of what a formula is and sort of what it's for. Now, there are some formulas that you have already internalized based on your consumption of fiction and storytelling of various sorts over the years. One of the most common that you might have internalized is the hero's journey, which is a sort of meta-formula for one of the major traditions of Western literature, that being the formula for the individual hero's coming of age and coming into the world and changing the world around him. Odysseus, Hercules, Perseus, Gilgamesh, all those grand heroes of old, the hero's journey is ultimately derived from sun cycle mythology, but that takes us down a road that'll take forever. Where it comes from is fascinating, and learning about it can help you find deep cultural touchstones to resonate on, but it's not important when you're just learning how things work. When it comes to extracting formulas, I actually learned how to do that from watching Gail Carriger do it, and so I decided to have her on the cast to talk a little bit about how she originally learned to do it and about how I learned to do it from her. Gail, hello.
Hi, Dan. So,
formula extraction, you did this the hard way.
I did do this the hard way. I'm a huge fan of romance novels, and so I was reading them. One of the things I genuinely like about romance novels is there's a level of predictability to them. And I like it in the same way you like going to your favorite restaurant and ordering your favorite dish from that restaurant, in that you know kind of what to expect, and you know you're going to enjoy it, and you know you're going to have a wonderful time. And I don't think there's anything wrong with any of that. Like, I am a human who likes a certain level of predictability in her world. Dan, I'm sure you find that shocking. As we have our regular Skype conversation that we do almost every week at this time.
Well, yeah, but that's only because we live too far apart now to hit the coffee shop.
It's true, where we would meet in person every single week. Anyways, I was reading some contemporary, I was reading male-male, I was reading historical, all romance, and I basically just was like, can I distill this formula down to an actual mathematical principle? And so I started to keep a list, first of kind of the things I saw that were reoccurring, like the first kiss occurs, and then the one half of the equation realizes they're falling in love, and then sex occurs, and then the second half of the equation feels like they're falling in love, or however those things happen. And then I just started to note the total page numbers of the book and then the page number on which these incidences would occur. And usually these are all sprinkled with your standard kind of suspense of a climax and a trauma, the bad guy or the bad incident. So I would note those as what, so your standard story pulse points, if you would. So I was noting all of those down, and then I had basically a spreadsheet of all of these page numbers and then the total page number of the book, and I just distilled them all down to percentages. And then I was like, okay, so at about 30% of the way in, the first kiss will occur, or if you're writing erotica, the first sex scene will occur. And to this day, I will be reading something and look down when these incidents will occur, and my unnamed ebook provider will tell you what percentage you are through that book, and I'll be like, there it is, the 30% mark. Or I'll look down, it'll be like 45%, and I'm like, ooh, they're 5% earlier than the first admission of love ought to be, you know?
You did this back when you had to do all the division yourself.
I was being my Texas Instrument calculator. I guess I was literally looking for a mathematical formula. And in my case, part of that happened to do with the fact that I like to read romance, but I was very uncomfortable writing it. And also I wanted to go back and look at kind of the history of it. So I looked at Gaskell and Austen and some of the very first romance writers as we think of them. And they are also following the same pulse points. It's a slightly different, of course, the intimacy levels are different, but it's right there. It was established early on.
I bet you there's some Roman period romantic novels that survive.
Exactly.
It'd be fun to find those in translation and see if they follow the same structure.
Exactly. I wonder how ingrained it is. Yeah, and ever since then, I have always been interested in the formulaic aspect to storytelling. And like I said, not in a negative way, just in a like, well, why is it appealing? What is it about the psyche of the rise and fall of the romance, or the tension, or the sadness in the case of a tearjerker, or the suspense that appeals about fiction?
And a couple of years ago, when I was trying to figure out YA, I think, and I was having a hell of a time because I was trying to figure out Heinlein's formula particularly. Because he did something with YA books that no one else did, and I couldn't nail it down. And so I stole your spreadsheet from you.
Mm-hmm.
And your spreadsheet was laid out very much like a beat sheet,
exactly,
screenwriting. And so I started with that, and so I read all 12 of the books and mapped the beats out and discovered that they're not quite as mathematical as they were with the romance. But then I went and reread the Harry Potter books and some other YA books and compared them, and the beat sheets were fairly similar. So I had to go like past the beat sheet into the other parts of what make up the formula to figure out what was going on there. And it turned out that there is a few thematic ways that he deviates from the standard YA hero's journey that really make it stand out. For example, in all of the Heinlein juveniles, the hero in winning basically gains the right to a new set of problems.
Adulthood.
And in most YA, the hero winning gets to live happily ever after. And there's a whole bunch of other little thematic tweaks like that that take what is basically, it turns out from the beat sheet, most YA adventure is hero's journey archetype, but takes that beat sheet and turns its general moral thrust in a way that makes it a little more enduring than a standard fairy tale.
So we both wound up doing the same thing. To extract a formula, you read a whole bunch of the thing you're studying, and you start to make notes and then compare the notes for each book and average them together.
Exactly.
To find your formula.
And what we're accessing also is how to maintain pace. And there are certainly transformative tricks to pacing, which any decent writer will kind of instinctually know eventually. I mean, after you've written enough, I think you will get it.
And as a reader, you know by the time you're 12.
And you respond to it. Yeah. And sometimes I will read a review or a criticism, not of my own stuff, I don't do that, but of somebody else's. And the critic will be articulating something, and as an author, and it's a little bit like reading an editor's commentary on your own work. As an author, you look at it and be like, oh, I see what your problem is, and what your problem is pace. Because it's usually pace. And, you know, pace can be fixed by many things. It can be fixed with humor. It can be fixed with emotional tenor. It doesn't have to have something explode, although that works too. But figuring out these kind of extreme pulse points or markers is one way to get a quick handle on the sing-song nature of pace in that specific genre.
Yes.
So I think that's why you would do this. It's also never a bad idea to read widely in the genre you're writing in. And this is a good excuse to do that. And this is statistical analysis, so you got to do a few, like, you know, 10 to 20 of these to get some kind of read on it. The other thing to notice about this, what I did is distilled for romance, I distilled it into a Scrivener template, essentially. So I know if I'm writing a 40,000 word novel, at what juncture, like literally what kind of page number or word count I want to be hitting certain things.
Right.
But at this point, for me anyway, I've been writing this romance novel. So I've been writing something longer than what I normally write romance for. And I've been noticing that I start to get a twitchy internal sense.
Yep.
That my pace is like, oh, yeah, I need to hit this right now. Like, my temptation is to want to write all this other stuff, but really I have a different marker that I'm supposed to be hitting. And that's not being told to me because my template isn't structured for a full-length novel.
It's because you've internalized it.
And it's just because I've started to internalize it.
That was the thing that I went – it was back when we were talking a lot about Crudrat that I did this, because Crudrat is a Heinlein juvenile.
Yeah.
It has all the thematic markers. It is, and the other thing is, it's a hero's journey, but it pulls the Demeter network forming type of hero in, which is the other thing that Heinlein did with the juveniles. They're all network based problem solving things,
which is a heroine's journey,
which is a heroine.
That's a different conversation to have.
Right. That was when I mapped this out, and I made 4 attempts to do a YA to this formula in that time. One of them I actually finished, but totally doesn't fit the formula at all. The other two I could never finish, and so I just sort of let it alone for a while. And when I made it a go at this one, it had been long enough that it had all settled out in my head that I could do it without thinking about it.
It percolated.
And some formulas, like you did with the romance, I've been able to write to the beat sheet. Some of them, for whatever reason, I haven't been able to do it until it hits that point of internalization that you're talking
about. Yeah, I agree. And sometimes you have to, I mean, like the first couple of romances I write were no good. They did not work. And that's because I was just unfamiliar with the technique of it. And I was like, okay, I haven't figured this out yet.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you hit it right away. And I think it also has to do with what zeitgeist you've internalized. Like, if you have already read so many young adult books, or if, you know, like, I love to watch romantic comedies as well. And certainly screenwriting and television and those sorts of things are also formulaic in their way and can give you that instinctual writer itch of, this isn't quite right.
Well, and I think also some formulas are really dependent on structure and others are really dependent on feel. And the more you get towards the feel end of that spectrum, the more you have to be patient and wait for the internalization to happen.
I guess what we're saying to the broad listeners out there, as it were, is that it is a formulaic thing. You can begin by trying to figure out yourself and then getting yourself to write to it.
And practice is one of the ways you internalize it.
Exactly. And you might hit it out of the park right away.
Oh, boy. But when you do, when you hit something out of the park the first time through, the second one is always a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Because you don't know why you did it right.
Yeah. Well, but if you had a formula written first, you'd at least have a starting
point. There is that. Okay, well, that should cover it. We're running a bit long now for these episodes, so thank you for coming on.
My pleasure.
And the rest of you guys, I'll see you tomorrow.
NaNoWriMo Every Month is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at NaNoWriMoEveryMonth.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. NaNoWriMo Every Month is copyright 2016 by J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions and is released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivatives License.